Will you please turn with me to the Gospel of St. Mark at the 4th chapter, to a very familiar passage which describes a situation in many ways strikingly similar to the one in which we gather together at Keswick this evening. By the lakeside at Galilee, great multitudes had gathered together. Luke tells us that they came out from every city to gather in this beautiful part of the world. And there was amongst the people a stirring air of expectancy and eagerness, an atmosphere which was derived from the purpose for which the people had gathered together. And that purpose was that they might meet with the Lord and wait for his word. And there is a very wonderful sense in which, across all these years, we are united in heart and mind with them this evening. And it seems to me that meeting in such similar circumstances as we do with theirs, we need to begin this evening at the opening gathering of this convention, where Jesus began with this great multitude who had gathered by the lakeside for that assembly of hungry people. At the very outset of what appears to have been a sustained period of teaching, our Lord lays across the threshold of these days and across the threshold of everything that he had to say the critical issue on which it seems everything was going to depend. And in one very real sense, this is the critical issue, I believe, for these days of holy convocation here at Keswick. And that issue was the right hearing of the Word of God. Luke crystallizes the whole question for us in the words, "Take heed how ye hear." And so in this parable that has become perhaps too familiar to us, our Lord begins with divine insight to sketch the true character of the hearts into which the good seed of the word is going to be sown in these coming days. This is, of course, a description of his own ministry, and of precisely what is happening whenever and wherever the good seed of the word is thrust into the hearts of men by the Holy Spirit. I want to point out to you that this is a parable which does not simply refer to that initial preaching of the gospel and that initial response of the human heart in what we call conversion. For the whole of the Christian life and the whole of progress in the Christian life is marked by a continual responsiveness of heart to the word of the living God, akin to the response that the seed needs in the soil. And we therefore need to be continually reminded, I suggest to you at a moment like this, of this pivotal issue of the right hearing of the word of God. In this connection, I hope that we are all quite clear about the purpose for which we have gathered together at Keswick in these days, at the whole point, indeed, of the Keswick Convention. There is nothing vague about the purpose of our coming together. We are not here for a kind of refined spiritual picnic. We are here, as we have been reminded more than once already this evening, we are here to meet with God. But you know, even that can sometimes, for some people, be a little vague. More precisely, we are here to meet with God in his word. It's possible for many people to come to Keswick, you know, with the vague idea that we have come here for a blessing. But let me say immediately this evening that we do not believe in blessings which are not anchored in and ministered through the Word of God. And we are here together right at the outset of this convention to submit ourselves, heart and mind and spirit, to the word of the living God through which he blesses his people. The two things are gathered together by the psalmist in that cry from the depths in Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord, and in his word do I hope. And I suggest to you that these are the two great longings that need to swell up from our hearts at the outset of this convention. Because it is in the word of the Lord that the Lord of the word is to be met. Perhaps the basic truth of this parable is that the word of God has a twofold action. According to Jesus, it has first of all a dynamic action. This is one of the lessons, I'm sure, of the whole picture of the seed. Within this small, despised seed, as Jesus amplifies later on in this section of his teaching, there is life that is ready to burst forth into a great harvest. And where previously there has been nothing but barrenness and wasteland, the coming of the seed, where the conditions are right, brings an abundant fruitfulness. And there is a dynamic in this little seed to produce something far beyond what the untrained eye looking upon it might imagine. The word of God is living and powerful, is the New Testament's witness, and the experience of so many of us who are here this evening, is it not? And I want to tell you tonight that if during these days at Keswick God is going to grip your life by his word through his spirit, there is no limit to what God may do for you during these days, whoever you are, however you may have come to this place, however burdened and longing and even barren and needy your heart may be, if you are going to let God's word grip your life, there is no limit to what may happen here. But the word of God not only has a dynamic action, it also has a discerning action. Because it was the seed itself which discovered the truth, you will notice, about these different soils, three of which most probably looked indistinguishable from each other. And it is the word itself which sifts men out and discovers their true condition. The word of God, the writer of the epistle to the Hebrews reminds us, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it is because of this that Jesus describes these different situations that his word meets. And this comes right up into our own situation this evening, the different kind of heart into which his word is sown. And what I want us to do for the remainder of this opening gathering, when so many of you are tired, I know, and have traveled distances and are perhaps feeling weary, what I want us to do is God shall help us and his Spirit lead us, is to take these pictures that Jesus paints for us of the different kind of heart into which the word comes, and to say before God, which of these represents the truth tonight about me? We used to have a doctor in my family who always greeted his patients in exactly the same way. Whenever you went into his surgery or he came into your home, he always met you with the words, and how do I find you today? And I believe that God is here in this place tonight, meeting with every single one of us, and his word to us is, how do I find you? He is the great heart knower, the great cardiagnostes, the knower of the hearts of men, who is here to look into our hearts this evening and to assess for us the possibilities of this week. So Jesus paints the picture, first of the hard heart, then of the shallow heart, then of the divided heart, and lastly of the open heart.
May the Lord speak to us through his word. Will you look at the hard heart with me, first of all?
Some seed,
says Jesus, fell by the wayside. But the trouble was that the wayside was so exposed to the traffic of the world and the constant comings and goings of the feet of men that it became, over the weeks and months and years, as hard as concrete. And no seed ever penetrated it. Let me remind you that in this parable, Jesus is not speaking about those who have never heard his word, or who stay away from his word, or who are even inattentive to his word. The parable doesn't deal with them. He is speaking here about those who actually hear. But in his description of the hard heart, Jesus is speaking of the man or woman who sits and listens to the word of God with a heart that is utterly impenetrable and is like that wayside path, so exposed to all the traffic of the world that it is like concrete to the word of God. And that heart, says Jesus, is ideal ground. But not for me, for Satan. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word. Some scholars think that Jesus is specifically thinking here of one group of people on whom it seems from the testimony of the Gospels the word of our Lord made absolutely no impression. They think he's speaking about the Pharisees, who because of that smug self-righteousness which characterized their lives, that deep-seated sense of satisfaction with themselves and thanksgiving that they were not like other people, had provided for themselves an armor plating against the word of the Lord. That may be so. It may be that there are some of us who need to hear that word from God this evening before this convention properly begins. What is quite clear is that there is some real significance in this parable, in the very position of the wayside, do you notice? It is actually withdrawn, you see, from the sower's path. It's in the position rather of the spectator of all that the sower is doing than of a participator in what he is doing. The falling of the seed is almost a casual, incidental thing. It brushes off upon the wayside. It's not where the sower is making his pathway. It's not in the line of his purpose. And I wonder if you grasp the point. I wonder if there are not some of us here this evening at Keswick, as so very often one has found, who are just like that. Here as spectators. And you have withdrawn yourself, perhaps over a whole lifetime, from the pathway of God's purpose and from the word that he speaks. It may be that you have come here during this week as an interested spectator but determined to keep yourself out of the line of anything that God may be going to do. May I very simply say to you in the Lord's name, let his love break that barrier down this evening. And let him bring you in whatever fashion you may be there, let him bring you from the sidelines into the path of his word and of his purpose for your life. But there is another picture here that Jesus draws, the picture of the shallow heart. Some fell upon stony ground, or ground where there was a thin covering of earth, beneath which was the rock. And there are two words in verse 5 and two in verse 6 which sum up the problem of this kind of ground and of this kind of heart when the word of Jesus is seeking to penetrate it. And the two words in verse 5 are no depth. And the two words in verse 6 are no root. And the problem in this second picture, you see, lies below the surface. If it was in the first case a stubborn resistance which was the barrier to the word, in this second picture it is a superficial reception which is the barrier to the word. If in the first place the seed couldn't get in the second place it couldn't get down. Outwardly, you see, there is a great show of response to the seed and a great show of response to the word Jesus means us to understand and enthusiasm about it. These are they who are sown on the stony ground, who when they have received the word, heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And I should think this is the kind of life which is deeply involved in Christian work. Deeply instructed in evangelical truth, perhaps even respected in evangelical circles. But it's all a covering, and beneath the surface there is a heart of stone. Beloved, I believe that if there is anything we need to face as we come to Keswick in this critical hour in the church's history, it is this. Right at the heart of the evangelical world. On the surface, you see, there was undoubtedly so much convincing speech amongst this kind of person of whom Jesus is speaking. And he's warning them about the utter impossibility of the living God penetrating into the vitals of their lives if they remain like this. So much convincing speech, but it's just empty talk. Is it not true, as Richard Bewes was pointing out so pungently at this convention last year, that so much of our evangelical talk is just professional chit-chat, betraying the shallowness of our lives? We go away from meetings and from services, lovely word, we say, a fine message. And what our hearts beneath the surface are saying is, we shall not be moved. Is that not true? And I tell you diffidently, but with the urgency of this fact on my soul this evening, my brother ministers, that the place where the same spirit so often afflicts us is by believing that we have discharged our duty to the Word of God by preaching on it. That's a great truth. I'll need to preach on that. And we actually deflect the Word of God from the depths of our own souls. I say this evening that I believe we need to humble ourselves before God about this whole question of the shallow heart. May I say that this may be a shallowness that belongs to the world of a barren intellectualism as well as a shallow superficial emotionalism. It doesn't matter what the covering is if it hides a stony heart. And the seriousness of this, beloved, is that a man can live a lifetime at this level, deceiving and being deceived. And all the time he has never really faced and counted the cost of discipleship. He's ready for all the spiritual picnics, but when God begins to drive his word deeper into his heart so that deep may call unto deep, and to exercise him in the ways of adult godliness, the shutters are up. And he says, thus far and no further. Will you look with me briefly at the third picture, this time of the divided heart? Here the seed really does get a deep hold, says Jesus. But the trouble is that it is not an undisputed hold. And that means that the Word of God is not able to accomplish the purpose that the Holy Spirit means it to accomplish. The seed got in, and it got down, but it couldn't get room. The trouble was that there was a rival crop there which was left undisturbed. And gradually it grew and became dominant. And the good seed of the word, which once had seemed to be going down into the depths of the soil and everything was set for a fruitful life, it was strangled. And that field is ultimately left a wilderness. And it thereby becomes the picture of multitudes of once promising lives. And like many an overgrown garden, and I know all about overgrown gardens, like many an overgrown garden, that wilderness was not the result of a deliberate cultivation. It was the result of neglect. You just try neglecting your garden the way my predecessor did before I came into the house I live in now. And I can tell you what the results are. The good seed has been strangled. Now, if God is going to meet with you in these days, to make you, as this sick and lost world so desperately needs, a fruitful child of his and a fruitful servant of his, then it may be that he will make you face such issues as these. Is there a thing beneath the sun that strives with thee my heart to share? Ah, tear it thence and reign alone, the Lord of every motion there. Other Christian people who are here in Keswick tonight, and the reason that you are a barren child of God with a soul that is a wilderness is that you have, through neglect maybe, seen the good seed of the word stifled. We will be finding that weeds, like the cares of this world, the lust of other things entering in, they need radical treatment. Now you will be relieved to turn with me to the last picture of the open heart. Some seed fell upon good ground and brought forth fruit. And it did so because it is everything, this good ground, that the others are not. Here the seed can get in, and it can get down, and it can get room. And after much patience and endurance, and it's the endurance that Luke reminds us of, it bursts forth with all the glory of a new fruitfulness. And the interesting and significant thing is that the same sun which scorched and burned up the plants in the shallow soil is the sun, be it tribulation or the cost or whatever it be, it's the same sun that ripens the grain in the deep soil. Now, we do not know each other as we meet this evening. It's so easy to hide in a great crowd like this. I don't know what is hidden away in your heart. I do know that there are many who have come from foreign fields, from missionary tasks, who are here this evening weary and worn having gone through testing and tribulation, with a heart that is well nigh torn by the sheer pressure of things. There are many others who have known what it is to know virtue going out of them over the years and being in conflict with the powers of darkness. There are some here this evening who are scarcely conscious of why they're here. But it doesn't matter that we don't know about one another. We do know this, that if we are going to let the Word of God get down into the depths of our being during these days of Keswick, if we are going to see it having free course in our hearts, to probe and pierce and penetrate, then I tell you, beloved, we will, every one of us who are thus ready before God for the sowing of His Word, we will know its quickening power in our lives. And we shall prove the reality of the wilderness and the solitary place rejoicing for them, and the desert blossoming like a rose. And there will be barren hearts which will know a new fruitfulness, and there may be hard hearts ready to let the plowshare of God's Spirit break up the fallow ground tonight, who will know what it is to be a fruitful field. And I tell you, the outcome of this cannot be measured by man's mind. I have a friend who is a minister. When he was a bachelor, he had a notice that he used to put over his study door for the benefit of his housekeeper at certain times in the day to ensure that he got privacy and quiet. It said, quite simply, "Not available." And anybody who came in or passed his door at that time knew that he was not accessible to anybody under any circumstances except the most urgent. And I have a feeling that there are many of us who may be here this evening, as God turns the searchlight of His own eye upon our hearts, here and there are notices like that over our lives this evening. Oh, ready for something, ready for some word that we may think we may need, but in some areas of our lives, not available to God. May I suggest to you now that in the quiet of these closing moments, we may take every such notice down in the Lord's name and let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly for the glory of His name.